Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today is the gospel lesson, which you just heard read. Jesus coming to Nathanael, having been invited by Philip with the words, "Come and see." Has this ever happened to you? You are really excited about something. You've received great news and you can't wait to share it with somebody else. And the moment that you share it with somebody else, you get shut down with a negative comment. That person does not share your enthusiasm, and you lose a little bit of your joy in the good that has happened to you. I wonder if that's how Philip felt in today's gospel reading. He's convinced that he has found the promised Messiah, the one to whom all of the Old Testament is pointing. So he races to find Nathanael. "We've located the Messiah," he says. "We know who he is." And Nathanael's response is a classic bubble burster. "Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Clearly, Nathanael thinks that this is an absurd idea, not to be taken seriously. And right here is where Philip teaches us all an incredible lesson. You know, there were a number of ways that he could have reacted to Nathanael's dismissive comment. He could have gotten angry, walked away, stormed off, "Forget it." Or he could have developed a theological point of view, gone point by point through Scripture, demonstrating that this was referring to Jesus and that was referring to Jesus as Messiah. "What's wrong with you? Don't you get it?" But instead, Philip just says, "Come and see." A simple invitation. Come and see for yourself. There's a lesson here about sharing our faith that I don't want anybody here to miss. So often, I think that Christians have the impression, or they give the impression, that we are supposed to go about the business of talking people into believing. That has the effect of stopping us before we get started. We don't know what exactly to say, how to say it. We don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. Or it might just be the opposite. You love the truth so much that you just can't wait to drop the hammer on somebody because you've got answers and you know how to use them. Both ends of the spectrum, I think, can learn a better way from Philip and his simple invitation. Come and see. Now, it must be said that that invitation was a little bit more concrete on Philip's part. He could invite Nathanael to come and see a flesh and blood person and listen to what that person had to say. But our invitation to come and see is not really that much different. Our invitation is this: come and see Jesus in his word and meet him in his church. Making this invitation takes confidence, and Philip had it in Jesus. He reasoned that he could just get Nathanael and Jesus together, the right things would happen. And in this case, they did, and then some. Jesus exceeded Nathanael's expectations, so much so that the man who accepted the invitation to come and see ends up confessing Jesus as the Son of God and the King of Israel that very day. How did that happen? It happened when Nathanael allowed Jesus to speak to him. And when Jesus spoke to Nathanael, he did two things. Number one, he demonstrated that he had an intimate knowledge of who Nathanael was. And number two, he gave Nathanael an amazing vision of hope. Intimate knowledge, hopeful vision. That's what Jesus had for Nathanael. And I'm suggesting today that Jesus has the same thing for anyone who would dare to come into his presence. You see, when Jesus and Nathanael finally get together, Jesus starts talking about Nathanael's character and behavior. And it is clear that Jesus has inside information about who Nathanael is. And it's so disarming that Nathanael is moved to proclaim Jesus as God's Son and the King of Israel. Whatever Jesus touched on in this exchange, it flipped the switch from, can anything good come from Nazareth? To, you are the Son of God and the King of Israel. How does that happen? From skepticism to worship in one day. This is really very fascinating, and what it speaks to, I think, is something absolutely fundamental. Namely, if you are human, then you want to be known. And if known, you want to be loved. This desire drives us to do all sorts of things, too numerous to name right now. Some of those things it drives us to do are pretty noble. And some of the other things that drives us to do we're probably ashamed of. We might not even be aware of how deep this drive to be known and loved goes and how thoroughly it controls our decisions and our actions. This can also work in the negative, after all. A fear of being unknown or a fear of being known and not loved. Well, that fear can lead us away from connection and into hiding. We build up walls, big ones, reasoning that if I cannot be known, then I cannot be rejected. All of this is often happening in a jumble in any given human heart and mind at any point in time. But here is the marvel of the gospel. Jesus comes to Nathanael and he basically says, I know you. I like you. I accept you. And I am about to show you greater things than you ever imagined before. There are better days coming. I'll show you. Isn't that something? At this precise moment in the history of your life, doesn't that sound refreshing? The Son of God coming to you and saying to you, I know you. I like you. I accept you. Let me tell you about the joy that is coming. Is there anything that we need more than that? I'm not sure what it would be. But there's one big hang-up. I want to be known and loved. But at the same time, I know myself all too well. I know who I really am when no one is watching. I know how unlovable I can be. If God knows everything about me, then how could He like me, much less accept me? If those are questions you're having as well, I invite you to come and see. Come and see all of the terrible things of which you are ashamed. Come and see Jesus stoop down and pick those terrible things up and carry them to the cross. Come and see those sins weighing Him down as if they were His own. Come and see Him punished in your place as He dies. Come and see your darkest deeds buried with Jesus in His grave. And there they stay. Come and see Jesus as He exits His tomb fully alive to make you fully alive, because there are now no sins that can be held against you. Justice has been done. The price for sins has been paid in full, so Jesus can approach you in full acceptance. You are known and you are loved. And now see the vision that He holds before you. Jesus said to Nathanael, "You will see greater things than these. You will see heaven opened. You will see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Suddenly, Jesus is talking about a deeper reality, the reality of heaven, the presence of the man who is God, Jesus Himself, with His angels attending to Him. Jesus promises Nathanael, "You will see this." Nathanael, you're connected to me now. This is your future we're talking about. You can look forward to this. This is an endless supply of hope. An endless supply of wonder. And if you believe that Jesus knows you and accepts you through His cross, then you have the hope and the wonder of His crown. This is the deeper reality to which you are already now connected. It is the bright beacon shining out, calling you home. You see its light shining out above all of the things that trouble you. It's shining out beyond your failures, beyond your health crisis, beyond all that you've lost, beyond broken relationships, beyond pandemics, beyond civil unrest, beyond the darkness of death. Jesus is shining and He says, "You will see heaven opened. You will see the Son of Man with His angels ascending and descending. Your future. Heaven opened. Your present, full acceptance. Come and see Jesus." Would you please pray with me? Lord Jesus, we humbly come before You, Your Father, with the Holy Spirit today, and in awe and wonder and sincere hope, we believe that we will see heaven opened. We will see the angels of God ascending and descending upon you, that this is our future to which we get closer every day. In the many changes and chances and trials of life, let us not forget, let us never forget, that this future has been prepared for us by your cross and your resurrection, so that we are looking always to that beacon of light shining out and calling us home. With grateful and thankful hearts, we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.